book, Deep Down Dark, The Untold Stories of 33 Men Buried in a Chilean Mine and the Miracle That Set Them Free. At 11:30, Neela Banerjee from Inside Climate News investigates the world's biggest oil company, ExxonMobil. Starting in the 1970s, Exxon knew their product would damage the climate, but chose to fund denial. How is it possible for you to hear about all of this? It's because of the members of the KBOO Foundation who have given their support in our recent fall membership drive and before, and hopefully beyond as well. If you did not take advantage of that opportunity, you can still remedy that oversight at kboo.fm. Just click where it says donate today.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, September 30th, 2015, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Coming up, today's guest is George Edwardson, Vice President of the Inupiat Community of the Arctic Slope, people whose whole life, whose whole way of living, traditions, all of it, is literally melting away. And I use that word literally correctly in this case. It is melting away. They're hunting, fishing. Even it's not just a question of ice melting. This has changed the permafrost in ways that make the usual ways of digging roots and collecting what they need to live from the land. It makes it impossible to access everything that they. That it's not so much just the food; it's the means of procuring the food, the sacredness of the land that the food comes from, the sacredness of the food itself, and of course the sacredness of the people. It is, in fact, all one. Something that we definitely here in the lower 48 pay lip service to, but have not actually made any real progress, hard progress towards accomplishing that shift in mindset to where we're not thinking of climate change, we're thinking of habitat, environment change, because climate is not a separate entity from all of it, from us, from where we live, whether it's a country or the city. That's your environment. Environment doesn't mean you went for a hike somewhere. Your environment is your apartment. It's your flat, and it's low in a southeast, wherever you live. If maybe you live on Greeley Avenue, there's a homeless camp there that is waiting to see whether ODOT handles their fate in a humane manner. And that we should have news on shortly. City officials are in fact discussing how they can turn the camp in North Portland into an organized operation. Well, there's good news and bad news associated with that. Charlie Hale's office said on Monday that they were talking to ODOT, and which owns much of the land. That's the problem, where the campers reside. The state agency issued eviction notices to campers at the site next to the Greeley Forest Garden. What they've done there is extraordinary. It's unlike anything else. Whatever you see in your mind's eye, representing a homeless camp, which is a terrible term in the first place. The Greeley Forest Garden is something else. It's a permaculture project. And because of the nature of their habitat, because of how they live and where they live, some of the qualities of the forest garden are akin to wild-grown efforts, wild-grown food. In other words, a food forest. Make no mistake, you can't plant a food forest. You cannot go out and dig up a bunch of dirt somewhere and plant a bunch of organic plants and put a bunch of organic compost on them and get the whole community to support it and share the food. That's great. That's an organic community garden, but it is not a food forest. Just like in a true forest, a food forest happens. You create optimum conditions and let the system flow. Make no mistake. And that's exactly what's happening up on Greeley. So that said, Royal Dutch Shell did pull out, but what they left in their wake is pretty grim. Next up, in the 1990s, the Salt Nation in Canada, northern BC, engaged in a campaign of direct action to stop logging on traditional lands. This was known as the Great Bear Rainforest. The Nuksalt hereditary chief, Kwatsinias, was at the forefront of that fight. And there is a lot more on the Great Bear Rainforest was hijacked. What many in this movement say that the battle for the Great Bear Rainforest was hijacked by huge environmental NGOs. I won't name them, but they are organizations that most of us feel very strongly about. We give money to them. They do great work as far as stopping Shell from getting its hooks into the Arctic Sea. So we have nothing but the warmth for these organizations in our heart. This organization, however, is pointing out, it's called Offsetting Resistance, and what they want to express is the effects of foundation funding on the Great Bear Rainforest to the and all the way up to the Athabasca River. There is, in fact, a movement, mainly in Canada, that's building. We've touched on this before. There's a movement building to shut down the tar sands, one of the most destructive projects, of course, in human history. But here's the catch. Decisions are being made about the strategies that will be used and the goals that will be pursued, but the number of people opposing the tar sands grows larger. The number of people making the crucial decisions is getting smaller and closer to the oil and gas industry, and therein lies the rub. What this organization, Offsetting Resistance, says is that a small, secretive group of insiders has been collaborating with huge American foundations and industry, the oil industry, GMOs, logging, all of this, mining, to concentrate decision-making power. And that is why fewer and fewer people are making the decisions here. Concentrate decision-making power concerning anti-tar sands campaigns. This is headed by Michael Marks, one of the architects of the Great Bear Rainforest deal in northwestern BC. The groups have a track record and a documented trail of funding relationships that steer them. This could may or may not be intentional. As they said, they're small secretive groups. How would we know? Into closed-door, backroom deals with industry and government. The lack of transparency, the absence of any democratic structures, the questionable sources of funding, and the track record of these corporate and foundation-funded environmental NGOs are the subject of this new report by McDonald Stainsby. Google it. Also, Drew O.J., the Offsetting Resistance, the effects of foundation funding from the Great Bear Rainforest all the way up, as we said before, through Canada. This is mainly, as I put, the Offsetting Resistance has come out of Canada, and they're pretty much under attack most of the time by those who say, no, these huge, we give tons of money, you know, we have a T-shirt and maybe a shopping bag. So you can go out with a shopping bag and buy more crap. Anyway, that said, they're all the way up to the Northwest Territories Protected Areas Strategy. From there, it reveals that these are the effects of foundation funding that are revealed to be the hidden structures behind the emerging North American Tar Sands Coalition. And as we all know, of course, that seeks to keep its decision-making body invisible to the outside while funneling millions of dollars to its preferred groups to the potential detriment and sidelining, and this is a quote, to the potential detriment and sidelining of community organizers across North America. Huge corporate money that is being poured into environmental NGOs undermines grassroots organizations. Okay. Now, that said, it's a strange and murky moral landscape that we would be treading into. We're still waiting to see if we can't get our guest on the line. George Edwardson, Vice President of the Inupiat Community, the north of the Arctic Slope. I'll let you have a quote from him since we aren't able to get him on the line. We have 70 to 80% unemployment in our communities. And the only way people can feed themselves is subsistence hunting. Our main meat supply comes from the ocean. So drilling in the Arctic is a death sentence for our people. The lease sale area that Shell was exploring is right smack in the middle of the North American salmon nursery. This is the last third of the world's fish. The last third. That is what we were risking. We call for all oil companies, not just Shell, to declare the Arctic off limits to drilling. And he means forever. This is a whole way of life. And so many of these traditional ways of life are vanishing. So many are under attack. We have emotional, sentimental feelings about them. But we don't have the backbone to stand up to corporate interests. And we don't have the backbone, apparently, we learn from offsetting resistance, that we have not had the courage, in fact, even to look hard at where we put our money and see what that act, the effect that that is having on grassroots resistance across North America. And I dare say, across most of the world, a great deal is going on with resistance in Peru. Three people were shot recently trying to stand up for their land, their rights, their heritage against mining companies and logging companies. So there is resistance everywhere, and it is critical that corporate money be held back from involvement in what is going on all across the globe. Vandana Shiva recently spoke about five ways of stopping Monsanto. Alas, GMO foods have been creeping slowly into the food supply. We're still waiting for George Edwardson. One quick story. I have a farm. I had been using alfalfa on horses. I do some horse rescue on horses who were emaciated because it's a good source of food. It's high-calorie food. I found out that a couple of bales in, that there was a very high probability that it was genetically engineered alfalfa. So I started trying to find alfalfa that wasn't. The short answer here is couldn't find it. Couldn't find a supplier who would give me an actual guarantee that it wasn't genetically modified. So here we are. No alfalfa for the horses. I had to buy this incredibly expensive stuff called calf manna. That's another story. U.S. prosecutors say that the two Oregon men are charged, and this is an interesting story, with smuggling military-style firearms to Mexican drug cartels. An indictment was handed up by a federal grand jury in Eugene. Apparently, this chap, Eric Flores, El Torgi, and Robert Allen Cummins were made false statements to obtain guns and conspiring to smuggle them. This is according to, of course, AP mainstream media. But if you haven't heard it, it's worth taking to heart. Prosecutors said that El Torgi of Beaverton and Cummins bought more than $70,000 worth of semi-automatic firearms throughout 2013 or 14. This stuff was recovered in Mexico. If you think about it, this is very, very small pickings compared to the fact that the U.S. arms trade, we're gun runners, this country is, a huge amount of the U.S. economy is firearms, weaponry. And where does that end up? Wait for it. It ends up where? In the Middle East. That's where it's ISIS. We're arming them. We have a financial, we've got a dog in this fight. It's not like the U.S. is sitting back and saying, now you bad boys had better stop fighting. Oh, no. Because if they do, there goes a huge portion of the U.S. economy down the drain. Where will we? What are we going to do with all the guns? We're going to find another place to send them. Maybe we should like, put them on a rocket ship and fire them off into outer space and see if we can't pollute some other planet with our deadly and brainless operations. So, and it continues, as it continues to do, Portland Cop Watch has provided ongoing tracking of Portland police procedure and activity. And you can find that. Go to Portland Cop Watch because it's all there. We're very fortunate to have Portland Cop Watch because, wow, if we didn't, we wouldn't know the things that they are putting up there. And that is all the time that we have for right now. Boehner's out of the game. The Trans-Pacific Partnership final, I guess, ministerial is happening right now, and it's time to again pay attention. We've been paying attention, but when we're not looking, that's when it all happens. And now the culmination, you know what, mainstream media is not reporting on the Trans-Pacific Partnership at all. Dead silence, because what's going to happen is the decisions are going to be made, and then after the fact, when it will be presented to us as a done deal. That's it for Air Cascadia for Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. Sam Parrish engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.